on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? We're back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. Lots of things going on right now in Coyote athletics, and obviously one of the biggest pieces of news lately is the change in head football coach at USD. Matt Vitzthum introduced as the next head football coach last Friday. We had a chance to catch up with him and talk about his coaching journey here for this week's episode. But golf got their spring season underway this past weekend. This upcoming weekend, women's golf will get their season underway. And currently, you can renew or buy volleyball and football season tickets at goyotes.com. So get yourself ready for the upcoming season. Obviously, for football, they announced the non-conference schedule, so we know the Coyotes will open up against Central Connecticut State on Saturday, August 29th, and they'll also play Eastern Washington at home. The rest of the conference schedule had to be changed due to North Dakota State moving on to the Mountain West Conference for football only. So with that, they had to redo the conference schedule, so hopefully we'll have that out soon. And what you know, though, is you get Eastern Washington at home, you get Central Connecticut State, and you'll get four conference games at home as well. So we'll keep an eye out for that schedule, and as soon as it is available, it will be ready at goyotes.com. I had a chance to catch up with Matt Vitzthum, the head football coach of the University of South Dakota, his third season at USD, his third different coaching title at USD. We talked about his coaching journey that ultimately has led to this opportunity at USD.
Hey, Coyote fans, we're having a conversation with head football coach Matt Vitzthum as he continues to get acclimated as the head coach. Is it quite settled in yet? It seems like every week you get a little bit closer and closer. Does it start feeling like you're the head coach?
Yeah, starting to get there. Yep, starting to get there. The guys have been giving me a hard time, I can tell you that, calling me head coach Vitzthum. I know it's getting there, but yeah. One day at a time.
I always think when you get to a point like this, you know, it's fun to look back at the journey. And for you, you go all the way back. You're growing up in Iowa. I think everybody in the Midwest, if you were into sports at some point, you want to play football somewhere. And everybody looks at, you know, bigger schools, Iowa, Iowa State, Nebraska, whatever it might be. What was it like for you? How did football come into your life?
Yeah, same thing, you know, just an Iowa kid, so no professional sports teams at all. So obviously you're watching the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes growing up every Saturday. Grew up a Minnesota Vikings fan, still am, unfortunately. But yeah, just obviously fell in love with it and then, you know, started playing 7th, 8th grade. And then in high school I played at Bishop Garrigan. I played for a Hall of Fame head coach that's still there, big mentor of mine, Marty Wadley. Again, starting to fall in love slowly, and then went and played small ball college at Wartburg, and just the love of the game and the brotherhood that you build on the field, off the field in football, just continued to grow, and ultimately has kind of led me here.
You know, growing up in Iowa, you talk about watching the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes, and I don't know if you leaned more one way or the other, but you got to go out onto that Iowa State field with this Coyote football team. What was that moment like?
That was cool. It was really cool. So I grew up, I'll be honest with you, I grew up cheering for the Hawkeyes. My grandfather was a big Hawkeye fan. My son is actually named after Hayden Fry, the greatest football coach to ever coach at Iowa. My goddaughter and my niece is actually a current basketball player at Iowa State. Wow. So there was a little family, like, are we switching to having that day was pretty special. You know, she was out on the field pregame with my two kids, and be able to go over and give her a hug. That was a special day for my family. Now, it was special pregame, and then when the game kicked off, it wasn't so special, but it was still a really cool experience for my family and myself.
Well, now you got to get us a game at Kinnick.
That would be awesome. It really would. Yeah, that would be a couple of places to kind of check off the bucket list, yeah, for sure.
No doubt. You mentioned you played small college football, and you go through that and then eventually work into being a student assistant at Wartburg College. When was the moment, high school, college, that you thought coaching might be a path that you want to go down?
It was in college. You know, I got done playing, and a couple of assistants, and honestly, Coach Morrison, our current offensive coordinator here, was the offensive coordinator at Wartburg, and he's like, have you ever thought about this? You know, like, you're great around the guys, you're intelligent, like, as coaching something you've ever thought about? So that spring kind of really just dove into what they did, got into some of the recruiting, and then spent a season as a student assistant and instantly fell in love. Really did. It was just kind of found that passion and that fire. I was all set to be – I graduated with a business degree, so I was going to go into the business world, and I was like, heck no. Like, I love this. I love being around the team, the competitive spirit. So stuck with that, and then obviously went on to be a graduate assistant and just kind of kept knocking doors down as I went.
There you go, St. Cloud State, then to school in Ohio, and eventually to Grand Valley. Did you understand when you got into it the potential – moves quickly that come in coaching as you're trying to climb the ladder?
Yeah, you know, you see it and you read about it and you kind of hear those things, and like, it's no big deal. And then you start to have a family, and then you start to have a wife and two kids, and like, you're like, man, dragging them in and out of schools and all of those things. That's when it became more real about like, wow, this isn't just me packing my suitcase and heading to the next school. This is impacting a lot of other people. But again, I've mentioned this. Luckily, I've got, you know, three ride or die people at home that are all in on this thing. And I say to people sometimes, I think they're too competitive and they're too all in because they care too much at times. Sometimes I get home from practice or games and they just fire the questions away. And it's like, guys, enough's enough. Like, let's just be a family right now.
It's supposed to be your time to step away from the game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. They want to keep it going. You get to Grand Valley, and that's obviously been the place that you've spent the longest a stretch of your coaching career. People have heard about Grand Valley State a little bit, but I don't know how many people are familiar with it. What made that place so special for you?
Well, first of all, you know, obviously if you date back to some of the coaches that have been there, you know, Brian Kelly really made that place and kind of got it off the ground. And then it passed it to Chuck Martin, who's the current head coach at Miami of Ohio. And then passed it to Matt Mitchell, who's an unbelievable mentor of mine and ultimately hired me. He's the special teams coordinator, coaches the linebackers at Wisconsin right now. So the lineage of coaches and the people that have kind of gone through there have been unbelievable. And then you tack that on to the fact that it's on the west side of Michigan. It's right on Lake Michigan. It's an unbelievably growing population in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it is a really, really neat place. You know, ultimately, my family started there. Both my kids were born there. It was a hard place to leave, but we found a really special place here and glad we're here now.
You made that transition a couple of years ago. When you started to make the move to Vermilion, South Dakota, did you think I could be a head coach there in 2 years?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, honestly, I came here because, you know, obviously Coach Nielsen has some Wartburg ties where I played. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wanted to really be around Coach. Like, you know, and I knew probably the end was coming, you know, in the near future. Nobody expected, I think, as fast as it was. But I wanted to be around him. And then, you know, I got to meet Travis. I got to meet Josh Davis. And it was like, you know, man, there's some really, really good coaches here, and they're obviously starting to kind of build on some special things. Like, that's what I love. I love being around great people. And I got a chance to visit with all these people, and I'm like, man, these are the type of people I want to surround myself with. And that's ultimately why I came here. You know, I started in the receiver room, moved to quarterbacks, had the chance to go with Aiden and stuff. But, like, the people here are so special, and that's what's going to continue to make it special.
Three different coaching positions here in three different seasons.
Yeah.
Hoping to keep this head coach title here for a while.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm definitely okay with that. I could use a stress-free off-season. Yeah, that would be nice, I could tell you that.
You've obviously been, you're an offensive player yourself. You spent all your career on the offensive side of the ball. You know, last season helping more with like the game plan and some of that as you go into. How do you try to keep that going? I know you still love the offensive side of everything. You want to be a part of it, but obviously you have coordinators for a reason. How do you envision intertwining yourself with offensive game plan stuff while being the head coach?
Yeah, I think that's the question I think I've probably tussled with the most, is just, you know, finding that role within each staff room of where can I provide feedback, where can I provide guidance, and also I know what it's like to sometimes to not say anything and just let those guys be great. So working through that right now, I can tell you this. I spent yesterday and this morning, just walked down here. I've been in the defensive staff room. It's been awesome, like, just to hear those guys talk about, you know, the way they look at the game. Already in a day and a half, it's like, man, I personally can grow a lot from this and learn a lot from this. So I'm looking forward to that, not necessarily being just buried into the offensive room, you know, every single day and every single hour of the day. So it's been good. I'm looking forward to it. But I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly how that dynamic was going to work. But we'll work through it.
You spent a career as an assistant coach, and you know as an assistant coach what it's like to be heard, what it's like to maybe not always have your input felt, some of that. And now as you work through this and you start looking at your staff, how important is that communication with your assistant coaches and make sure what they're being said? I mean, the buck stops with the head coach, right? You're judged by all of the decisions that ultimately get made. How do you see that conversation?
Yeah, I think that's a thing that I think I really try to draw on with my experiences of all the guys I've worked for. And, you know, I've been an assistant my whole life. I know what those guys are feeling. I know what they're going through. So ultimately trying to draw on some of those experiences, good and bad, from the head coaches I've worked for. And really, I know at the end of the day, communication, you know, that's where it starts and ends, right? If we can all be on the same page, it may not be, you know, easy and clean right away, but if we can work through the problems together and everybody feels valued, with great communication, good things typically happen. So we'll stick to that. There'll be some moments, though, I'm sure, where it's like, man, now I know why that head coach said that to me in that moment. I haven't got to those yet, but I know they're coming.
Speaking of that, you went back, go back to your playing days, right? And even as a young assistant, student assistant, what's something that you know now as a veteran coach that you wish you would have understood or appreciated back then?
Yeah, I think, you know, just knowing, I believe this, the loudest person in the room isn't always the smartest person. You know, when you're young, you get so eager to have your voice heard. And ultimately, if you can just listen, digest, and go execute, that's when you're going to get noticed. That's when, you know, people above you start to say, this person really gets it. That's a person I want in my organization. Not the guy that needs to be heard in every meeting, not the guy that needs to show you how smart he is all the time, but really the guy's willing to digest the plan and go execute the plan. That's what I wish I knew when I was 21, 22, 23.
I always think, you know, these athletes go through some things, and then some of them, we've seen so many get into coaching, and they're like, man, I didn't know the coaches worked that hard. I didn't know they put in that kind of time. Like, I knew they had these ideas for us, but I didn't really know how much time goes into this. It's a lot of time.
It is coaching. It is. It really is. I love that when that happens to a really good player. You know, holy cow, you guys have been in here all this time just to come up with those plays. Yeah, that's how much it means to us. But yeah, it's a lot of time. I mentioned this in my press conference, though. Like, I do mean this. I do believe that the best way to do this is still having balance. I think that you can be an unbelievable father, an unbelievable husband, and still be a great coach. You don't have to spend every waking hour in this building to get the results that you need. You got to get the work done. You got to be efficient. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. And what's really hard is turning the work off when you get home, right? When your son is saying something to you and you're not thinking about, hey, what were we going to do on third and medium? But that's something all of us are working through. But I'm excited. I think, you know, we have a great balance here and a great staff to be able to have a good balance in life.
One of the challenging things, and you'll find this out, you probably have a little bit as a coordinator, but you're going to get to a point where you got to make a decision on timeouts, on going for it on fourth down, on kicking that field goal, on what you're going to do. Right. And at some point, it's not going to work out. And you're going to have to play that second guess game. Yep. Right. How do you try to run those through your head to understand the situation, but then obviously move on from it?
Yeah, I think I've tried just, you know, throughout my career to just put myself in those situations. That's why sometimes I'm not the greatest guy to watch a football game with, because I'm not watching. I'm analyzing, you know, should we call timeout here? Should they have gone for it? But when those decisions are made, I think a lot of times people think that's just an in-that-moment decision. Going into the game, you have some pretty good inclinations of when you're going to go for it, when you're not going to go for it, how the game is going, the flow of it. And I think I do have a lot of experience under my belt, watching a lot of different head coaches manage that and do that. And then the last thing I'd say is, you know, when you have a locker room full of guys that have your back and you have their back, and when a bad decision is made, no different if an interception's thrown or we miss a tackle on defense, knowing that I have their back and they have my back in those moments, that's really what matters, and that's how you're going to get through that. Because everybody's going to make mistakes, including the head coach. But when we're in the thing together and we believe in each other and we have that unlimited trust in each other, that's when we'll get through those things, no problem. Because I'm going to make a few mistakes, and I'm sure I'll probably hear about it from Coyote Nation.
they do pay attention. Yeah, you'll find that out if you haven't already. You've been through, as you go through your playing career, your coaching career, you've been around a lot of veteran head coaches, and I know that's meant a great deal to you. You also spent last year under a first-year head coach. I would imagine that's beneficial for you going into this season. What's something that maybe you learned or you were able to take away from seeing Coach Johansson in year number one as a head coach that maybe helps shorten up that learning span for you?
I think the thing I always really appreciated about Coach Johansson in his first year, we were very detailed and we were very organized. I think as a first-time head coach, you can get overwhelmed with all of the things that you have to do that don't necessarily, you know, have to do with our players or the game, right? The interviews, all of those things that are very important and you want to do and you need to be there for. But he never left us, you know, as a staff that we didn't know what we were doing. He was detailed. He was organized, process-oriented. And I really am going to draw on that. Again, I believe he was one of the best football minds out there, but he delivered that message to our staff, and we were always on the same page.
Spring football is coming up. It'll be here before you know it. I'm sure practices get going here relatively quickly. You know, it's coach speak to say spring practice, it's the most important time for us. For you, that's legit. You're going to have to learn some things as a head coach that you can go through now in spring practice. How do you envision kind of spring practice and what needs to happen for this team, this coaching staff, to be ready for August?
Yeah, I think I could not be more excited. I've always said this. I believe spring isn't the most important, but it's also, for me, it's the best time of year, and I think this is when the most growth can occur within your team. You're not preparing for an opponent. Right, there's no outside noise of we should have done this or we shouldn't have done this. It's just us working through the process of getting better each day. I could not be more excited for that. I know there's how do I fit into that, and I'll probably have to blow my whistle a little bit more than I've blown it. But I think this team has a really, really good foundation. They've built that in the weight room these first 4 or 5, 6 weeks. But now it's to go out on that field and to build that camaraderie. You know, we had a brand new, you know, we had a lot of new pieces last year that we really kind of got in June. That was our first time together as a team last year. Now we have had the opportunity to get that team together in January, right? And to be able to go 15 practices and these amount of weeks that we've had training to build the camaraderie, to build the brotherhood, and to build the trust within each other, the coaches, the players, I think that's really what we're trying to do here in the next, you know, 6 weeks is to continue to build trust and have great communication so we can start a little bit faster than we did last year. I think a lot of our rough start was due to the fact of just our lack of experience playing with each other. We just didn't have those reps built up, and we're going to have a good chance to build some of those reps together here starting in spring.
I'm sure there's a lot of boxes you got to check to get this team ready to go, but one of them that's going to have the attention of Coyote Nation people nationally is how do you replace Aiden Bauman, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play at this university. Nobody at this level has taken this team consistently into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. Didn't always light up a stat sheet, but he knew what he was doing and operated the offense exceptionally well. How do you replace that? I know there's always talent, right? But that's going to be the thought of people is how do we replace that guy?
Yep, and it should. I mean, that's when I coached that position, I started a lot of meetings with we've decided to play this position, and with that position there comes a lot of responsibility. They know that. I will draw back on this, the fact that, like, what we do here and how we do here, we don't need that guy to have the weight of the world on him. We don't need that guy to be Superman. We need that guy to be 1/11th of the offense. And I believe we've assembled a roster and we've got great pieces around him where he can go out there and just be himself and be free. I'm not sure who that's going to be yet. We don't know that. I love the pieces that we have in there that are going to go compete for that position. But the guy that's going to win it is the guy that can consistently do his job and be a 1/11th of that offense. And, I'm excited for that competition. I really am. Our team's excited to see that. I love Aiden, and Aiden means everything in the world to me and to this university. But there's some goods, too, that can come with some fresh, you know, a fresh voice in that huddle. And I know this team's looking forward to that.
You know, as you work through spring and eventually get to the final of spring, then it's the attention onto the summer. What does that kind of look like right now as you look ahead for this group and you get them back for fall camp and get ready for the season?
Yeah, I think summer will be big. I'm a big proponent of summer is when a ton of team camaraderie is built. There's not a ton of classes. You guys may be in one class. The weather's nice. You know, you get to a workout and you're done. Some guys will work, some guys won't. But there's a lot of time spent together. And I think the tighter the team is, the more player-led this team is, the better off we're going to be. And I think in the summer you can really start to build that. And I'm excited. I know our guys are excited for summer to be around each other even more and to keep strengthening the bonds that we already have.
I know they announced the non-conference schedule. Central Connecticut State will open up with here and then go to Greeley, Colorado and play Northern Colorado. Then you got Eastern Washington and Boise State. Obviously, the conference schedule right now is being shuffled around. But as you look at what they put together for the non-conference, what comes to mind with that schedule?
Yeah, I'm crazy excited about it. Obviously, the opportunity to open up here in the Dakota Dome is huge. This place has been unbelievable to us. Our kids love playing here. When the fans show up and show out, it makes a huge, huge impact, so we need you there. But I think the thing I love most about our non-conference is I think we're going to have a dang good feel of who our team is and what our team is coming out of those games. You get different levels of competition. We're going to go play in a couple of road environments. That'll be good for our team to see where we're at. So I love the fact that I think after those, you know, tests to start us going into Missouri Valley play, I think we're going to have a really good beat on our team of who we are and what we're about.
What would the small town kid from Iowa think about this opportunity today?
He'd be pretty proud of himself. You know what I mean? He'd be pretty proud of himself that, you know, just a kid. I believe that hard work wins. Tried to put my boots where they are and just work, and ultimately I think has landed you know, me in this position. Obviously the people around me have had a big deal, or you know, big impact on me, and again, just I think he'd be proud. A lot of work to do, but the thing right after he'd say he's proud, he'd say put your head down and get back to work. These guys need you. So that's what we're doing.
You know, coaching is a lot of work, takes a lot of time, a lot of focus, work ethic. Where's that come from?
Yeah, my dad is a lifelong farmer, worked at Pioneer Seed Corn. So I watched him get up every morning, 5 a.m., put his boots on, whether he was going to load hogs or get out in the cornfield or bean field, like just and then come home, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night and get up and do it again and again and again, and just knowing that's what he had to do for us as kids. So definitely my dad. Don't tell him I said that, though, because he won't take a compliment very well.
What do you think, you know, it'll mean when you go through that first Coyote walk? You know, you can hear the music blaring and the hot dogs and the hamburgers are on the grills and bottles are in hand of whatever beverage. Yeah. And, you know, you glance onto this turf as you come down the loading ramp and it's as quiet as it's going to be till after the game. And then you go through warm-ups and all of a sudden the doors open, right? You're leading that team down the hallway. The motorcycles revving the engines. Have you thought about that moment? I mean, it's going to hit at some point.
Yeah, geez, man.
What do you think about that?
I got the goosebumps right now. All right, we're a few months away from that, but yeah, tremendous amount of excitement. I really am. You know what I mean? And again, like, I believe in the guys behind me, and that's really what it's about. And to be able to just have the opportunity to lead those guys out, because all, you know, they believe in me, and I believe in them. So, just a ton of excitement. To have the opportunity to be able to be out in front of those guys is something I'll never forget. But I'll have a little coach speak here. We got a lot of work to do between now and then. So, but super excited for that opportunity.
We'll learn more about this over the next, over your tenure as the head coach of USD. But as you instill your handprint, your footprint on this program, what need to be the characteristics of a Matt Vitzthum coached program if it's going to have success?
Yeah, I think a competitive team to start. You know what I mean? I think we got a locker room full of those guys, but guys that are going to go out there and compete no matter what that scoreboard says. And that's where it starts. You know what I mean? It's just assembling a group of men that are going to go out there and compete, a group of guys that are tough and gritty. No matter the circumstances, no matter where we're at, the elements, we're going to go out there and we're going to be tough at the line of scrimmage. We're going to be a tough out no matter what, no matter where we're at, the circumstances. And I think if you can couple that with a smart team, you know what I mean, a team that's very disciplined and knows the time and the situation in each game and makes great decisions in those moments, I think we're going to have a dang good – if you can, compile those three characteristics – you're going to be in a lot of games in the fourth quarter, and we can pull through and win those.
Last thing for you, anybody who's heard you talk, they can tell how much you care about the players, how much you care about this job, this opportunity. Obviously, the players are doing a lot of the work, but at the end of the day, why do they mean so much to you? Why does this opportunity mean so much to you?
Yeah, I think, I've had that question a couple of times. Like, I love being around a group of young men that have a common goal. I think there's so many things in this world right now that are me. And when you have a collection of individuals in football that are working for something, and we is greater than me, it's a bond that is really hard to explain. It's hard to characterize in a sentence. It's just, I love being a part of that, and I love being just a small part of that. It means a lot to me to have this opportunity because, they're counting on me and I'm counting on them. And there has been a lot of years and a lot of work that's gone into this that have led me to this. But I just love being around the guys. I really do. That's what fuels me every day. So, again, it's just all about the people.
I know a lot of people are excited. We're excited to see it. And I know you want time to slow down, but people are going to get excited for the end of August and that opener. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Obviously, your coverage and your love for the Yotes, I do appreciate it.
I certainly appreciate that and appreciate Coach Matt Vitzthum. He is the head football coach of the University of South Dakota. So really appreciate that. Hopefully you get a chance to check out one of the meet and greets and the stops that he'll be making around the state. Obviously, he's already had his opening press conference in Vermilion, but Coach Vitzthum is scheduled to make coaching stops next week. On Tuesday, he will be in Rapid City, February 24th at Murphy's Pub and Grill. That's from 5 to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So if you're out in the western part of the state or any of that region, February 24th, 5 to 6 p.m., in Rapid City. Then on the 26th, that is next Thursday, Coach Vitzthum will be in Sioux Falls at the Pizza Ranch. It's a special edition lunch with the U from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's Pizza Ranch on the 41st Street location. That same day, he'll be making an evening appearance in Yankton, February 26th, at Hillcrest Golf and Country Club from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Again, that is next Thursday, the 26th. And then March 4th, on a Wednesday, he will be at the Mitchell Quarterback Club at Bradley's Pub and Grill from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 4th, as he talks to that area as well. So lots of opportunities to see Coach Vitzthum. All of those details are available at goyotes.com. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. The swim and dive championships are underway. They got underway Wednesday in Iowa City, Iowa, and will continue. It's a four-day event, so it continues through Saturday for the swim and dive team. Results will be available at goyotes.com. Thursday night, women's basketball will play at home against Omaha. The Coyotes hoping to continue to build momentum for the Summit League tournament. 7 o'clock start time. Summit League Network, Coyote Sports Network, where you can find all of that. Men's basketball will be at Denver on Thursday night. 8 p.m. Central Time will also be on the Coyote Sports Network and the Summit League Network as well. Track team is set to compete on Friday at the UNL Last Chance in Lincoln, Nebraska. Women's golf will open up their spring season at the Rio Verde Collegiate Invitational in Rio Verde, Arizona, an event hosted by Western Michigan. Softball's back in action on Friday. They will take on Wichita State and Creighton down in Arlington, Texas to kick off their weekend. And tennis is scheduled to compete on Friday as well in the Huthert Match Point in Sioux Falls as they take on the Wyoming Cowgirls. Moving on to Saturday, in addition to golf and swimming and diving continuing, softball will play a couple of matchups against Texas Arlington in the afternoon and evening. Women's basketball, an afternoon game. It's senior day at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center as the Coyotes take on North Dakota State. 1 p.m. is the start time of that game. Men's basketball plays a late one Saturday night down in Tulsa at Oral Roberts. Again, those basketball games available on the Summit League Network and the Coyote Sports Network. Then on Sunday, golf wraps up their competition in Rio Verde, Arizona. Tennis is scheduled to take on Northern Iowa in the Huthert Match Point, and softball will meet Wichita State on Sunday morning to wrap up their stay in Arlington, Texas. So lots of things going on in Coyote Athletics. As always, for schedule information, ticket information, stories, and more, visit goyotes.com. That's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.